Welcome to a brand new stand-up sit-down. I'm your host, Nick Perdue, and today I'll be joined by the hilarious, the multi-talented Nick Carthan.
You are now tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Stand up, sit down.
What's up, Nick?
What's going on, Nick?
How are you?
Nick Squared, right?
Nick Squared is back.
Finally here,
finally,
man.
Back in full effect.
Both Nicks on the screen. That's what I'm talking about, man. This has been a long time coming. I've been like, yo, Nick, man. Both Nicks gotta be on one screen together.
Yeah. And here it is.
And here it is. Finally happening.
Damn it, welcome, Nick.
Thank you, man. Part of the magic.
How you been?
I've been good, man. Can't complain.
Life is good.
Life is good. Wife and kids is good. I mean, they're harassing me, so that's always a good thing. That's always good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as long as everyone's fed and everyone's, you know, waking up in the morning, that's all that matters, right?
As long as they're waking up in the morning and harassing you, everything's good, man.
Right.
Everything's good.
So let's just jump right into it.
All
right. Okay, you're a New York boy.
That's right. Right?
From, born and raised.
South Jamaica, Queens.
Yeah. What was that like growing up?
All right. My parents, you know, I was raised in the suburbs, you know, so, you know, good old green front lawn, you know what I mean?
That's good.
Good old green front lawn. It was cool, man. It was really good. Strict parents, you know.
Right.
I couldn't, like we played football outside in the street. I was only good for, like, third down conversions because I wasn't allowed to go from this part of the street to this part of the street. So they were like, all right, just put them in for this play. So I had strict parents, man.
That's funny.
I knew better.
Yeah.
Don't pass the red car. That was third down conversions.
No, but we're on a dope drive.
Like,
I don't care.
My mom was like, I don't care. I don't care. I need to see you. So that was it, man.
That's funny. And so growing up, like, were you the funny kid in school or class clown, or you a nerd or what?
You know what? I was probably all of those.
Really?
Because I was a nerd, one, comic books. I was always into comic books. I was into comic books, into the Marvel cards, the Upper Deck Marvel cards, basketball cards, all of that stuff. Cartoons, whatever it was. The funny guy, I didn't know I was, I just thought dudes were just laughing at me, like clowning, but they was just always like, yo, this dude's hilarious. But they would follow it like, yo, this guy's a clown, you know? So they would follow it up with that. And then, you know, I was also like, you know, my dad, he made me into a sports guy. Like, he was just like, that's too much Sega Genesis.
Get out there and
get in the street, play football, play basketball, but don't pass the red car. that was about it. So, you know. Yeah, that was it. I was all part of those, man.
So then what drew you to doing comedy or to wanting to do stand-up? Like, what was the thing that gave you the itch?
You know, it's crazy, man. I always, my dad tried stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
He tried stand up and
what happened?
Well, you know, he's not doing it anymore.
It
didn't work. It didn't work out. But he tried it. You know,
okay.
he tried it. He went out there and he went and did. And then my godfather, you know, called my uncle. He did comedy. He does comedy. So it's like,
nice.
You know, it's so with those two. And then I come from a family where my cousins are clowns and Def Comedy Jam coming on back in the day,
right?
And sneaking to watch that, and then, you know, watching the comedians on the TV as you know, watching it, you're like, I want to do that,
right?
You know, I want to do that. So, and Eddie Murphy, you know, I felt like stand up was the way to be the next Beverly Hills Cop, you know. So I was like,
I wanted a movie franchise.
I was like, all right, this is what I need to do
to
become that guy, you know. So yeah, I always wanted to do comedy, man.
Right. So then, what was the first show like?
The first comedy show
the
I did?
The very first time you were on stage with the microphone.
Because one of my comedian friends, she lives out here. So when people would say, like, Nick's only been doing comedy for 4 years, 4 years, she's like, no. Like, he's been doing it longer than that.
Right.
So here's the story. When I first started, my cousin, he's a poet in New York. He used to have this poetry tour that he used to do.
Oh, nice.
So he threw me on the stage. He's like, this guy's hilarious. He used to have me host shows for him. And I would host the shows and people would die laughing. You know, I never wrote down no jokes or whatever. I was just always just like clowning on the stage and people loved it because I was just up there goofing around. I didn't think I was up there being a stand-up comic. So people would be like, yo, you're a comedian. So I'm like, all right, I'm a comedian.
Right.
You know, I'm hosting for about a year. I'm doing college tours with them. I'm doing a bunch of, like, people know I did college tours. I'm hosting everything. I got cocky, And I became a rock star comedian. So I was throwing up the shows of like the sleeveless jean jackets with the tank tops and the jeans. Like, you couldn't tell me nothing. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't tell me anything. All right. So long story short, I used to work at Bally's as a personal trainer.
Okay.
And I had a lot of clients in Bally's. I had like a lot of clients, and I'm telling them to stand. I'm like, I'm a stand-up comedian. They're like, you're a stand-up comedian? They're like, do you know Capone? Now, Capone's a big comedian in New York City. You know, it's like, do you know Capone? You know, people, like, I don't know them. They don't know me. I don't know them. Like, you know, I'm the guy. You know, that's how I looked at it. So somebody set me up with a show at a comedy club called Giggles in Long Island, a real comedy club, right? And I remember it was like, the guy spoke to me on the phone. He said, are you ready to do this, man? You know, we'll put you on first. He was like, I got Capone in the show. I'm like, who's Capone? So the guy was like, and mind you, my stage name at the time was Nick Hollywood. Right. So I was like, who's Capone? Like, you know, who's Mike Yard? Who's A.G. White? Like, you know, so at the time, the guy was just like, he's listening to me, you know what I mean? So he's like, all right, cool, you know, all right. So at every comedy show, they have this thing called first, it's like a first impressions. Mm. They put the new comedians on first, and they put the other guys, you know, that's the major show. When you put the new comedians on first, the crowd knows it's a new comedian. They kind of give you the benefit of the doubt. Mm. I skipped that part. I'm like, you know, I'm like, nah, I don't got to do that part. So I packed the place out. All my friends are there. Okay. And the host brings me on stage. He's all right. Comedian Nick Hollywood, right? Come on, that second part of the show, I get up there like, what's up, y'all? Y'all know what y'all came to see? It was just like this. People were just like, am I used to that? You know? So I'm like, all right. So I go into my first joke. I'm like, I remember I did this one joke. I tried to turn into a raptor from Jurassic Park. So I was like, goodness. I was doing this. And then, you know, I you can hear the people like, what the fuck? Like, you heard a comment, the girl was talking to the other girl like, he's not funny.
Wow.
He's not funny, right? I do a couple of more jokes, and I see the front row all my people at, and I saw my homegirl go like this, like, put her hands down.
Oh, she was
automatically
embarrassed.
I thought I did 10 minutes, but it was still in the first minute. It was still in the first minute. And I remember I had to find something, so I saw my dad in the front row. Like, that's my dad! And the whole crowd was just staring at him angry. My dad got pissed off, right? And I had more, like, I had music that's supposed to play and all of that. And I just like, that's my time. I run up the stage. You think that was it. The host got on stage and was like, this guy right here, he's the funniest thing in town, man. That's your son? Man, you had a yeast infection when you had him.
Wow.
You know, and I swear to you, like, when you bomb, I learned this, and you learned this in comedy. When you bomb, here's the directions. You walk straight off the stage and find a plant, a wall, a tree, or a seat that shadows you, that no one can see, and you gotta stand still. You have to be like this. And don't make any eye contact with anybody. Don't look. You know you bombed. Don't make any eye contact.
Or just leave.
Just leave.
Right.
I couldn't leave, though, because all my people were in there.
Right.
But I tell you, my people never saw me at the end of the show. I stayed in the kitchen till that show was over. You know, I text my boy, like, look, just come around the back. You know, and I quit. I quit comedy. That was in 2006. I quit comedy. And I just stopped doing that. I was doing sketch comedy, just doing sketches. Right. And every time people were like, you should do stand-up, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm retired. I'm retired from that.
Let me ask you this, because why didn't you just commit? I mean, I understand you're bombing, and I understand, you know, it was the first time.
You know what it was?
You should have just committed.
I learned what stand-up comedy was.
Right.
Because at the time, I was just, you know, I don't want to say the foul words or nothing like that, but at the time, I was BSing. Mm. Like, I was just playing around.
Right.
This is stand-up comedy. Like, I have to have a set. I have to know what I'm talking about. I have to have stage presence. And I didn't have any of that at that time. And I was like, this game is not for me. This game, like, that feeling that I got, I was like, I'll never do it again. So I just never, like, and I remember my friends, that was a joke. Like, you know, we're going to do stand-up comedy again. I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know.
I'm never
doing stand-up comedy again. So I didn't pick the mic up again till about 2000, I forgot what year it is. I mean, me and my wife have been married for 4 years. So I want to say, I don't know what year that is. I'm not good with the math. But when I met her.
2012. Yeah.
I met her at a charity show. Mm. And they asked me to host again. And I felt like the only way to get her was to do stand-up comedy. I was like, man, you know, I think I'm gonna get back into the stand-up comedy thing again, you know? And that's kind of how I progressed back into stand-up comedy. I was just like, you know what? And I, you know, got into stand-up comedy because I was like, she was hilarious when I first met her. Mm. So I was like, man, you know what? I was like, maybe this is a try again. And I got back into it. And then, you know what? At this point, with her help, as she was my girlfriend, and then my friends, like, because they all felt like, yo, this is what you should be doing. Mm. You're too much of a clown not to be doing this. And right. I just started, like, honestly, just got into it, got right back into it. And this time around, I was prepared. I had some bad nights, but this time around, that first 4 months, it was a ride. And I was committed to it, man. Plus, you know what I'm saying? Like, how does it look? You telling your lady, you know, like, you know, I quit again. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not doing comedy
anymore. Yeah, I'm not doing the comedy anymore. You carry us.
That's fun. No, but why did you take the last moniker, the last name, Hollywood? Like, where did that come? Was it just you in your head and like, I got this? No,
here's what happened, right? I did a ski trip. I used to go to these ski trips in New York. They had these ski trips or whatever. And I work out. So they used to have these swimsuit things. The guys would come out. And, you know, we have our shirts off and the girls are screaming to see who won. Mm. And the host is like, instead of saying my name, Anthony Carthan, right? Because my name is Anthony Nicholas Carthan. Mm. The dude was like, here comes Nick Hollywood. And I was like, that's my name. I stuck with that name to the end. Plus, I stuck with that name because of that and because I saw the movie Carlito's Way 2. Mm. And Puff Daddy's name in the movie was Hollywood Nicky. And I was like, you know what? He was dope in that movie. I just took him to Hollywood. And that was it. Man, that's a story. Man.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm glad that you got back in it. And it's actually like it's nice to see that your wife was like your muse to get back into comedy.
Yeah, she. She and my friend, but you know, the fact that I saw like, the fact that I saw what she was doing and she's performing, and then you know. As far as me going, like, my family, to me, like, everyone was just pushing me towards stand-up. Like, I wanted to do it because, you know, I watched it all the time. I felt like, then I started making a lot of people laugh. I was just like, man, this is something I should be doing. Because apparently, when I drink, there's another guy that comedians tell me about that they're still waiting to see. Like, I can do shows, kill it, have a good time, right? Mm-hmm. People come up to me like, you did a good job. But that guy that drank with us last week... Like, you know, so obviously there's another guy. He's like, bring that guy out now. So right. I was just like, all right. So I owe it. Like, people want to laugh. And so I'm like, cool. I'll do the stand-up comedy, man. All right.
So who do you look up to in this comedy game? Like who was the person besides, you know, the Eddie Murphys? What, like, who did you look at? Or who did you see live? And you're like, yo, I can do that too.
You know what? I want to say it was always stand-up. I never saw a stand-up show live until I got into the comedy.
Oh, okay.
So I really got into the comedy. But I remember seeing this comedian named Talent from New York City on stage at Caroline's, you know, because my uncle did come. So I got in through the back and I watched Talent perform. And he had me in stitches. Mm. You know, he had me in stitches. And I was like, man, this dude is hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie to you. You watching him, I used to go home in the shower and kind of make my jokes like this. Like, I used to be like, yeah, you know what? So you want more money? You know, I'll try to perfect my jokes. And my joke, I was killing the shower.
Everyone does.
Everybody. Yo, I had a standing ovation. You know what I mean? I had a standing ovation. Every joke hit in the shower. You know what I mean? Trying to sound like him. So, like, I mean, Talent. You know, watching Talent, I got to see my uncle used to take me to. So I saw Dave Chappelle live one time before. And this is before Dave Chappelle was like
Chappelle
the
show,
first Chappelle show before his first stand-up special. Before that, like, I seen Chappelle, Tracy Morgan. I seen these guys, and I was like, yo, these guys, and then seeing the attention they were getting coming off the stage, like people looked at them like God. So I'm like, man, I got to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So,
all right. But, you know, even gods get hecklers. So how do you handle hecklers? Especially because I know, like, you've hosted a lot of shows. And so it's the host's job to kind of, you know, be the guy to,
you know,
kind of handle.
You know, it's crazy. My guy in this comedy, I never was able to handle hecklers. So what I would do is I get into my set, and they don't say something. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I go into my joke. I go into my joke and continue, you know. But I got, what happened was a blessing was, this guy named Sean Miller, he had Infusion Lounge, at, you know, Infusion in Universal City. And he booked me one time, right? And this is crazy. I remember he booked me my wife booked the show. And she brought me along. And then for some reason I got there, I was the headliner. You know, I was the headliner. I was like, all right, cool. Did a really good job. The second week I came back, because he's like, they cut my time that show. So the second thing is like, they come back next week. Next week, the host quit. And he's like, yo, you want to host today? And I was nervous, you know?
Right.
I went up there, did a really good job. And then he was like, yo, you're the host from now on.
Wow.
And I swear to you, like, when we first started the show, it was nobody. We did it on Fridays. They transitioned us to Saturdays. And we had this promoter. They used to pack the place out. And we had hecklers. And I had to deal with them.
Yeah.
And you know what? Who I am, if like from my neighborhood, what I am, I'm known as evil. Like snap, like snap jokes and all that. Like okay. People will tell you today, like I have no remorse. Like I'm going to snap.
I'm gonna go for the jugular.
Like, right. Like you always hear people be like, man, you went too far. You know, like, here goes Nick going too far again. You know, I am that guy. So when. I remember I used to, and because when I used to do comedy shows, I used to be like, I want to release this power that was given to me, but I couldn't do it. And I hosted, man, and them drinks, and I was just like, just, that's when I that stage helped me. Actually, that stage helped me with my stand-up comedy, my sets, and my, like, as far as attention, and, you know, so that was it. That's how I learned how to deal with hecklers and stuff, man.
All right.
Yeah, man. You know,
that's all right. So that was your training ground.
That was my training. You gotta understand with this interview right here, right? I always practice interviews by myself. So I'm like in my hand gestures, like I'm like, all right, look. I watched a lot of different people on the show. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this one time. Like, you know, what's that?
You're doing a phenomenal job.
Oh, thank you, man. That means a lot, bro.
So when you write jokes, what is your joke writing process like? How do you come up with the premise? You know, like what is there anything that triggers it? Are you looking like I'm gonna write a joke about a chair, or are you just out?
You know what? Everybody has something they do different, right? I remember when I was writing jokes, I was like literally like trying to write a joke, I was bombing because I was writing the word for word.
Right.
What I learned I had to do was I had to discover Nick, and I would come up with like, let's say, okay, my stepson, right? I know what I say about him in my head when he pisses me off. Now it's time to put it on the stage.
Yeah.
And that's how I come up with it. That's exactly how I write the jokes. Like, me and my wife, like, you know, a lot of people always be like, so you guys are comedians. So you guys gotta write jokes together. Nah, man, we don't write no jokes together. She don't wanna hear none of my jokes, you know? Right. And I really don't wanna hear none of hers, you know? So we basically, what happens is when we go to the show, she be like, oh, you got something new. And like, oh, you got something new, all right, you know? And right. That's just how it works out. Like, we just, you know, one day I'll be home, and I like to say, let's just say my best friend comes over from New York, he'll come out here, and he'll be like, remember when your dad? And I'm like, I do remember that.
Right.
Write the thing in my hand, and I just act it out. On the stage.
Nice. So you don't ever have your wife help you with tags or help you with anything? So you guys like don't do open mic together or anything?
We don't agree with each other. Like, you know, first of all, she started comedy before me. So for me to be like, well, you need to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I mean, she respects me, but it's just like, it doesn't, we're both hard-headed. So there's no reason we're not helping each other. Like, the most she would do is be like, that joke was weak. Or she'll be like, wow, that joke was crazy. Or she's like, well, okay, so that's what we're doing today? Like, right. That's how I know I'm doing good.
Right.
And it's the same thing with her. I'm like, all right, that's something new, you know, because sometimes when she goes on stage, I don't even know what she's going to say. So, you know, and she doesn't know what I'm going to say either. I remember one time, we didn't perform together in like 4 months, and we did a show together, and she was just like, this nigga has a lot of time in his hands. You know, like, he needs to start looking for work. Like, you know, so that's just, you know, but yeah, we don't write no jokes together.
That's funny. Have you said anything that has caused a conversation when you got home?
You know what? When we had a room together in New York, we had a comedy room together. I remember when I was on stage just talking about her family, and you just heard her in the back go, really? Wow. And I was like, that show, I remember it was just like, we need to discuss these jokes together. And I was just like, but I was like, that's whack. You know, because right. Then I'm not going to be comfortable. So what happened is now it's just like, okay, what I'll do in the house is I'll joke on something about her. And if she makes a face about it, I'm like, I won't do that on stage.
Right, okay, I can't.
But
I
if she's laughing at it, I'm like, all right, I'll do that.
Right.
I'll do that. But I'm not going to ask her for permission, you know?
You're
so,
just,
but
right.
I know what's personal for her that I shouldn't talk about. and I'll just get on the stage and I won't do it. But, you know, other than that, yeah, you know, she bad. Like, sometimes, like, man, you do shows together. You know, that's why we don't really like doing shows together, to be honest with you. Mm. People have tried to get us to get on stage together at the same time. And
that's weird.
With two mics on this thing, and I'm like, nah, that's not going to work out. You know, because we're combative, you know, and it's not going to happen.
Now, unless it was like a scripted show, if it was like a stage play or something, and then you and her were on stage at the same time, and then it was like jokes that you guys wrote together for the show.
It would change on stage because let's say she wrote a joke and she did it on stage, she's gonna change it, and I'm like, oh. So that's what we doing? Like I didn't know. I'll change. So it's just not gonna. We're one of a kind on stage separately because she has. To be honest with you, we came from two different places.
Right.
She has her story. I have my story.
Right.
That's just it. Like I've done. I'm from the suburbs of New York City. She's from the hood of New York City. You know. And she'll tell you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's what kind of made us mesh because it's like it's two different worlds. You know. Right. But to get two worlds together on the stage. Now we have some connecting jokes. But we don't have too many, you know. Right. We're still trying to let the world know about each of us individually,
right?
You know, so.
All right. All right. You know. So, how long do you take to perfect a joke before it's good for like public consumption? You know, like how long do you rehearse it or hit the open mics before you just put it on in the show, or do you just say, "I'm doing this tonight"?
I can't. All right. What I'll do is I'll do open mic.
Mm.
And I don't mean about open mic, I mean like a coffee shop where it's just comics.
Right.
And I'll go rant the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hear, I'm like,
there's something there.
Because comics are not going to give
the right. You're good. Than that. Yeah.
Now, if I was a star, they'll clap, you know, right. But like
standing
me,
ovation.
They'll go. And then you have a comic with a notebook full of tags, and you're like, all
right. Right.
Then after that, I'll take that to a mic with a crowd of people, get a ha 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 ha. Then I'm like, all right, it's time for the big time.
Right.
Go for go. You know, and that's about it. And plus you like, you know, like I said, the comedy that I learned to do now is stuff that I'm going through.
Right.
Like my life features. And I find it funny. So I feel like, you know, if I find it funny, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna do it. Because if you worry about like especially comics too, like that's why if you worry about how comics feel, because a lot of comics don't like each other's jokes, you know.
That's true.
And then some do. But if you go by what comics think about your joke, you won't win. You know, right. Like I give you a great example. I did the Flappers competition, right in the finals. Right, I got to the finals on these jokes.
Right,
right. So obviously, first place each round. These jokes are first place jokes.
Right,
each round.
Right,
right. I do the finals, and I don't come in first, second, and third.
Right,
right. Comics came to me and like, man, you know, maybe you need to change your material. And if you listen to that, you'll be like, you'll go home, throw your joke. Why am I? You have to think in your mind, like, wait a minute, but these were first place jokes all the way. It's just a bunch of other first place winners. It was everybody else first place. So it's just like, you got to be confident in your joke.
You can't take other comics' word. And especially too because like, these are your jokes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not my jokes and that's something, you know, like they're your jokes.
They're your jokes. It's like when someone this is why I feel a promoter will ask somebody and say, hey, is Nick Perdue funny? Right?
Right.
Now if I think you're funny, I'm gonna say, yeah, he's funny. But if I don't think you're funny, but I know that you kill crowds, I'm like, yo, dude gets the job done. That's what you're supposed to say.
It's like words.
Comics would be like, if they can see hundreds of people laughing at you.
Right.
They're like, yo, so is Nick Perdue funny? Nah.
Right.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wouldn't say, I don't think he's funny. They'd be like, nah, he's not funny. He's just move him on.
Right.
And I fall into that category of comics where they're like, they live the life I live. So they would be like, they can see me kill the crowd, but they would be like,
nah.
He's not funny. You know?
Yeah.
Say I get the job done.
That's hating.
You know? I say, just to say I get the job done. That's cool.
Well, yeah, and because like at the end of the day, like it's not, you don't perform for other comics, you perform for the crowd.
You perform for people.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling somebody the other day, you know, like you see all the controversy right now with Kevin, and you know, you got people going on the radio show saying Kevin's not funny.
Right.
This guy sold out Eagle Stadium.
Right.
40,000 people were laughing. You right. Know,
yeah.
Shut up. Like, you know, like right. You know, that guy's funny. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter what you think. You know?
Exactly.
And like, no comics aren't going to pay you.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, comics aren't paying to get into comedy shows to watch you pay.
Listen,
or to watch you laugh, to watch you do your thing.
Grand example. I'm pretty sure Kanye West used to freestyle on the block.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure nobody liked it.
Right.
I'm pretty sure no rappers. Rappers probably were like, oh, you know what? This guy's multi-platinum. You know, right, people right. like him. I don't think he cares if Beanie Siegel doesn't like his music.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's about it. That's how you got to go about comedy, man. You got to stick to your brand, make your brand big, believe in it, and believe in your jokes.
Yeah.
That's it.
So now, besides jokes about your wife or particular topics about your wife and your family and stuff like that, are there any jokes that you deem off limits? Like, are there things that you just won't say? And will you apologize for anything that you said on stage?
You know what? You've chilled with me before.
Mm-hmm.
Chilled with me many a time.
Yeah.
I found out that my funny is in my evil. I did. I found out my funny is in my evil. Like,
right.
I'm an a-hole.
Yeah,
and you know it. So, all right, so no, I'm not apologizing because that's what the people like.
When I
try to be nice, let me tell you something. When I first started comedy, I remember I was just like, yeah, and I love my wife and my family, and people were like, boo, and they didn't like that guy,
right?
But people that hung out with me liked the like this guy's an asshole, you know,
right.
And that's the guy I'll say, you know what. Now, I'm not on stage dissing people, but I'm on stage, I'm just being me now. Now, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to tell you that I used to mess around with couches when I was young. You know, right? I'm going to tell you about me thinking I think stepdads need holidays.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you about how, you know, I used to write fan letters to imaginary people. You know, I'm going to give you about my dad being a bodybuilder. I'm going to give you my mom being, because there's a lot to me, you know.
Right.
My dad's American. And he was a bodybuilder. My mom is Trinidadian.
Mm.
So there was two cultures. I had two cultures inside the family, you know. I'm West Indian, and I don't like eating West Indian food. that's crazy, right?
You were raised on that.
I was raised. Hot dogs and pizza. You know? Yeah, but, and then in the West Indian culture, I eat stewed chicken. But here's another thing. I have a sister.
Mm.
West Indian people should know how to dance. I don't know how to dance at all. I dance to my own rhythm. I'm still partying to
boogie,
my own beat.
I'm boogieing
to my own beat.
Right.
So, you know, that's you know, I can't, I'm not apologizing for nothing. This is who I am. This is comedy. No comedian should ever apologize because it's jokes.
Mm.
Unless they're just on stage and they're like, your mother died.
And it's just,
and it's no punchline.
Right.
you should probably run.
Yeah,
just, you know, right. There's no joke behind it.
But let's say, you know, you're in like a Tracy Morgan type situation to where, you know, you're on network television and then you get the movies and, you know, it's like, so there's more to it than just stand up. So you say something and then now, you know, because we live in such a politically correct society that everyone is just easily offended by anything. Do you apologize then because now you have like,
I'm gonna let you know, you gotta know what type of comic you're gonna be when your career takes off.
Mm.
Right? So I'll give you the answer. Somebody asked me, whose career, I don't wanna follow nobody's career, but whose career are you like, would you be comfortable with? And I always tell people Mike Epps. And the reason why I say that is because I feel like for instance, Kevin, he's funny, he's hilarious. You know, I think he's hilarious, but he's not, you know, everybody's looking at him.
Right.
So he can't afford to make mistakes.
Right.
But Mike, right? They're like, oh, it's Mike, okay.
Right.
Like if he crashes the car, they're like, oh, it's Mike.
Right.
Like, you know, or it's Cat, they're like, oh, Cat did it again. I want to be that comic. And today, dudes, Nick Carter curses out Priest. Like, all right, that's what it is. Like, and I want the whole comedy community to be like, man, this is Nick. This is how he is. You know,
right.
I'd rather be that dude, man, because I know my mouth. I know how my mouth is. I know that I'm raw, and I know that I'm going to say things. You know what I mean? So I'm prepared. Right. I already know I'm going to make a certain amount of I'm in a certain tax bracket.
Right.
You know, and I'm cool with it, man, because you know what? At the end of the day, Mama proud. You know, mama right. and daddy proud.
Because, you know, you're still doing movies, you know.
Still doing movies,
TV,
you know,
selling
you
know, out nice-sized theaters.
Still like theaters. You, know. You know, I might not be selling out the arenas, but right. I'll sell out the good night.
Right.
I'll be back, you know. Yeah. I'm cool with it.
All right. Your online presence, mm-hmm. right? You know, there's a lot of tags that are the beloved, mm-hmm. the beloved Nick Carthan. Where did this come from?
I am a battle rap fan.
Okay.
So, one of my favorite battle rappers, I have three. It's, you know, well, one of my favorite ones is Loaded Lux.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded Lux, Murder Mook, and Shotgun Shook. Okay. T-Rex, there you go, right? Those guys. The beloved Loaded Lux, right? This guy, I swear to you, have you watched battle rap?
I've seen a few videos. Like, I'm not like right. big into the culture or anything, but I've seen a few videos.
You gotta watch Lux.
Okay.
This guy is like, it's just his slang and just his vocabulary of things that he says that mm-hmm. make hot. He called himself the beloved, right? And I looked at the definition of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was like, man, I love myself.
Yeah.
I love it. Because, you know, at one point, when you come out here to LA, you know, it's rough.
Right.
So this is real. Like, when you come out to LA, it's rough.
Right.
And, you know, it's either you're this person, you're that person, or you're this person. Like, this it's really rough. It's a hard city, man. Yeah. Especially in Hollywood. Hollywood is hard, you know. So if you don't got 30.K followers, no one's drinking with you. You know, like no one's drinking with you. No one's just like everybody's just like, you know, so you tend, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's like a high school. You come out here, you're just like, man, yeah. no one's messing with me.
But very high school.
You gotta love yourself. You know right. what I mean? And I've come to like, in my third year living out here, I love myself. So I was like, I'm the beloved Nick Carthan. Inspired by that, but looking at the definition, I'm the beloved Nick Carthan.
Right.
That's just it. You know, some yeah. people was like, man, get out of here. That's what I love. I'm like, hey, man, look, that's my, you asked me, that's what it is.
Right.
You know,
no, like, and that's real. Cause I mean, like, at the end of the day, you know, like, you have to love yourself first, you know?
Exactly.
And then that's where you'll get all your fans and all your, you know, because, like, if they see what genuine, and it's not like being cocky or it's not being, you know, it's just like you just have love for yourself because, you know what you're capable of and you know where you're,
exactly.
where you're trying to go.
Look how,
you know?
Look how I did this. Well, Nick. I love myself.
You've been practicing.
I've been practicing,
yeah,
man.
You've been practicing.
I watch 105.1 every day. I watch these guys. I'm like, all right, do I want to slouch? Do I want to be like the hood rapper? I'm just like this. Yeah, so you know, I just, you know, I'm ready, you know?
You did internet videos and you're still doing these quick Instagram videos. Mm-hmm. And so like you're in that culture, okay?
All right.
Now. You also do stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've personally seen a few of these internet comedians try and get on stage and do some stuff on stage, and it doesn't quite work out, and it doesn't translate. So, what do you feel about these internet comics trying to be actual stand-up comedians?
I'm gonna give you two. All right, check this out. I didn't like internet comedians at one point
because
I said to myself, I was just like, man, why are they getting, you know, like what they like, what they're doing is easy.
Right.
I started doing sketches on Instagram and Vine and Instagram. And man, let me tell you something. Like, I'm shooting the Vine in 7 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still talking and the 7 seconds is done.
It's done. Right.
It's done. So I commend, hats off to those dudes because it's hard to do that. You know,
right.
It's, you got to know how to edit. You got to know how to do all of that stuff. Their world is hard,
mm-hmm.
and stand-up comics know their world's hard. Cause that's why some stand-up comics be like, "Well, you be like, why don't you do something? Like, I don't want to do social media. It's hard," and they
right.
know that.
Right.
I feel like internet comedians need to know that our job is hard.
Right.
I'll admit that. I feel like they need to know our job is hard. I'm not gonna say they don't because I've seen like King Batch.
Mm.
I seen King Batch get on stage, and he, you know, like, yo, he's working. He's not just like playing around. He's working, getting on stage. I've seen there's a few of them. I've seen Sarah Sunshine. I seen a few of them that just Instagram Vine. Like she's working. She's on the stage as well, and they work and they get on the stage. There's a lot of them. You know,
right.
I'm just naming the ones that I remember from it, but they get on the stage, and I've seen some take them falls. You know,
yeah.
I've seen some of them take the fall. I'm like, some stand-up comics are like, yes, take this mighty fall.
Right.
I mean, but you know what, though, man? in a good world, I feel like if they all work together, because what internet comedians know about us, I wish stand-up comedians knew about them. What I want to say about this, internet comedians know they have the followers. Right. They got to perfect their craft to get funny on stage. And they are trying to do it. Even though they're taking falls on stage, they're still trying. They, you know, they're going up there and doing it. Stand-up comedians, on the other hand, if we had their following, we would be unstoppable.
Right.
We would be unstoppable. We're lazy. We're lazy to it. But I'm not gonna, you have to know what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? You got to know what you want to do. Like, for instance, I started doing rap videos. Mm-hmm. I was doing battle rap videos, and my following went up doing the battle rap videos. Then I started doing sketches and stuff like that. And now what got to me was, now the only thing that bothers me, but it's a stand-up, like the stand-up game. Stand-up comedians, there's some stand-up comedians, they'll Pokemon snatch a joke. Right. Throw the ball at it, like, you know. Internet comedians do the same thing. Mm-hmm. In that world, man, and internet comedians also, some internet comedians will take your joke and turn it into a thing. But I used to get mad at that. And then I had to understand it myself. I was like, if they're doing a sketch every day, they're going to somehow roll into your joke. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna somehow roll into it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, it's not what the comedians think or what we never think. It's what the people think. You know, and I've seen some people say, hey, this internet guy is the funniest man in the world. Hey, you know, like it's easier to watch a social media video than it is to get to a stand-up comedy show. It's free to watch it on Instagram. It's you gotta pay tickets to go see it on a stand-up. So it's
quick, you know, it's just the instant gratification, you know what I mean?
It's quick.
Like going to a show, it's like 2 hours.
But
you know,
they're not doing anything that we can't do. Like, to be honest with you,
true.
These internet comedians, I remember what's the dude from Texas, Keyron. Mm. I'm not gonna call him King. I think I call Batch King. I was like, Keyron is Batch, right? I remember when I was following Keyron on Vine, and I remember when he had just started it, and he stuck with it, you know.
Right.
And that was hard work. So you can't get mad at him getting the opportunities that he's getting because.
Right.
He took his cell phone, like any one of us, shot videos, and got big. I watched a lot of Kevin Hart videos, man. Kevin Hart said it one day. He said, hey, you have the power on your cell phone.
Right.
You can film your own movie with your iPhone. It's on you. So
that's true.
That's just what it is, man. Get mad at them.
Who do you enjoy watching stand up right now? Like who's your favorite comic to watch? Like whether you catch him live, you know, like who are you like, yo, like that's the one right here.
If they're out on stage, right? There's a bunch of them, man. I can name if TK Kirkland or Corey Holcomb or like one of my favorite my boy like Ray Grady. That's my man. But you know, I'll be honest, like you know Ray Grady or it's a lot of them. It's a lot of the comedians. You know, that if they're on stage, I'm like I'm staying for that show.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch that. I'm going to watch. I rather watch them sometimes than some of the real superstar comedians, to be honest with you, because those guys they're not tampered with the with the, you know, they not. What I mean by tampered is when you do a lot of specials, you know, they're still funny, but it's not what it was from the first special, you know. And I know those guys. So
the hunger
changed. And I'm not gonna say the hunger is different. They just talk about different things.
Right.
I like it when you fresh out. So like I still like, you know, even though I like Corey Holcomb, great Tony Baker. I'm gonna stay for a Tony Baker set.
Yeah.
You know, even though that's my pair, like I'm gonna stay for a Tony Baker set. You know, I wanna watch Tony Baker perform. Grady does characters. I'm gonna watch a Ray Grady. You know, I'm gonna watch a great Grady perform.
Right.
There's a more of them. I got friends that I watch too, but I'm not gonna mention all their names. You know, because we're still, you know, we gotta keep some type of. No comedians gonna be like, hey, the guy, you know, but I got a lot of them that I watch. I watch a lot of them. A lot of the comedians that I watch there, like my boy Aaron Edwards, if he performs, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Because he does clean comedy. I watched this guy in a church. This dude tore down a church.
Yeah.
Clean. You know, like, I mean, we did the same church show. I got laughter. But this dude dug into the pews, like, you know, he talked about the first lady, you know, my wife, she, you know, a female, well, comedian, I don't want to say female comedian, but she just, like, she always made, but she's hilarious, you know, so I'm not just saying because she's my wife, I didn't like a lot of female, like, not to say I don't like them, but when I used to go to comedy shows and female come on stage, I was like, I'm going.
Right.
So there's a few of them that got my eye. There's a few of them that's hilarious, you know.
All right. What's the biggest thing you've learned since doing stand-up comedy?
I'm still learning. So I'm not gonna lie to you. A lot. Man, every once in a while I have a bad show.
Mm.
And I learned something.
Smacks the humble back.
But you know what? It's funny, when I was doing Infusion, man, I felt like I was in Flappers in the competition. I was in a high. I was just like, I remember I was coming in like, I'm gonna win this now. I was doing it, but that round it just humbled me, and I learned. I was like, man, trust your instinct. That's probably the biggest thing I learned. Trust your instinct.
Trust your instinct.
Shantae Wayne. She's real cool. She's super cool. I remember at the competition, she told me, she was just like, you know, we spoke, and I told her what I wanted to do. She's like, well, go ahead and do it.
Mm.
And I went up there and did something totally different. She was like, you gotta trust your instincts, man.
Yeah.
You gotta trust it, so.
All right. What has been your best moment thus far doing comedy? Like one moment where you're either on stage and have like an out-of-body experience and like, I am killing it right now.
You know what, man? I remember I did Chocolate Sundays for the first time, right? The only time I did it. And I went up there and I was like, this is it. You know?
Right.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I think in Hollywood, when you do a lot of stages, you're like, this is it, I'm gonna make it. And, you know, the next day, you don't get no phone call.
Nothing.
You don't get nothing. You're like, oh, I'm gonna buy. So.
But did you have a good set, though?
I had a really good set.
Nice.
At first impressions, I had a really good set. I remember I walked up the stage, the lady was like, give me your email and your Twitter. She was like, give me your information. I'm like, oh, man, I'm gonna be here next week.
You know, nope.
Not happening.
What advice would you give to brand new comedians or comics who quit that want to get back into it? What is your best piece of advice? People watching, people listening.
Hey, man, look. First of all, get a job.
Right. That's the number one.
And have a job. Get a job. And just keep going up there, man. Because, you know, I learned something. I think a lot of stand-up comedians getting confused. We watch comedians on TV.
Right.
And we automatically think, because this goes for even the comedians that be like, man, why that guy got what he got?
Right.
Stand-up comedy is no right or wrong, man. Like, you know, there's no right or wrong. Like, you know, you're going to have a lot of great shows. You're gonna have a bad one. You're gonna have, right. You know, and a lot of comedians make it seem like I'm never out of, like, you're gonna have a bad, like, you'll sneak on these guys. I've seen some of the dopest comedians have a bad show.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm never, like, look, it's your batting average. It's like, it's what your average is. If you're knocking them all at the park and you have one out of it, cool. But you got it. My advice is believe in yourself. Just get on stage, do it, keep doing it. And you know, find some people that you look at to ask questions, you know. Right. A comedian, you know, Clayton.
Yeah.
You know, Clayton, I look great dude, man. Clayton used to always be like, man, just smile. Just smile and Clayton's big on smiling. Like, just smile and talk to people.
Yeah.
Open your mouth. And I used to always be like he used to get mad because I used to always be like, he's like, well, you're not smiling. So, like, you know, Clayton, just you gotta smile and talk to people, man. Smoke to me and relationships.
Yeah.
That's it. Right? That's it. That's all it's about. Funny relationships.
That's it.
That's all it
that's
is.
That's all you need.
That's the key.
That's all you need. And yeah, of course, be funny. Like, that.
Of course, be funny. Like, well, no. Hey, well, yeah. Relationships.
That's right. That's funny. Actually, get
you,
the
funny will get you far, but if you got great relationships, you don't. You could be dirt. You don't have to. You don't have.
Right.
You could. You know what I'm saying? Right. You got. Hey, at the end of the day, you're still working. You're making relationships.
Right.
So that's it.
Right.
Relationships. And if
see, and then, but then you can also be like funny by proxy. So like, you may not be funny by yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, like, oh yeah, you're on a Kevin Hart show, or no, that's too big. But like, you're on like, you know, a Clayton Thomas show, or you're on like a Tony Baker show. So, you know, then people are like, oh, okay, like this guy's funny because everyone in this lineup is already funny.
No, because like, all right, Tony Baker, they have there's a group called they're gonna get mad at me.
No, but I know exactly.
They're gonna get mad at me, but everybody on the lineup is funny.
Yeah,
if there was one person that was bad, everybody would know. They're not gonna, like, that lineup, because it's Tony Baker, DC Irvin,
Keon,
Chaz, Keenan, Brandon Lewis, is the whole, like, all of them are funny.
Right.
So if you got one person on there and like, they're going to know. They'll be like, everybody, because the crowd lets you know, they'll be like, Tony, you are hilarious. DC, oh my God. Keenan, Keon, Chaz. Like, it'll be all right, man. Just keep, you know, keep working at it.
Maybe this is a
maybe. Or the best one, they'll be like, ah, man, that crowd was acting up. You know, but they'll know. They'll know. I don't think nobody's gonna get over that way. You gotta be funny.
You gotta be funny.
Because if you're not funny, then the people will be like, oh, he has good relationships. Right. And you can tell.
Right.
You're like, oh, that guy has good relationships.
Like that's his.
You know, but you gotta be humble. You're not, you just don't say that not funny. Just like, he got good relationships. That's about it.
So what shows do you have coming up? Where can people see you live?
What month is this right here? March, right?
This is March.
March 17th, I'm at the Ice House.
In Pasadena.
In Pasadena, Jose Raymond show. That's at 8 o'clock. And then Keon that I spoke about, the 23rd, he has a show at Flappers. Yep. And I'm in that show. And I got to check my email. Flappers with another show, but... I have that, you know, so I have those two shows are big to me because the Ice House, I never performed that before.
Yep.
So I got to go to Pasadena and do that show.
Yeah.
And the Keon show, I'm glad to do that because, you know, Keon, this prepared, great dude, you know, so right. Can't wait to do that, man. All
right. And where can people find you online?
Nick Carthan on Facebook. So that's NickCarthan. But then on Snapchat, So here's what happened, right? I didn't take Snapchat serious back in the day. Uh-huh. So here's my Snapchat name, because this is where I get raw. NickCarthan. Nick Karan. Listen, I don't know how I made a Snapchat. I was like, oh, I'm just going to make a Snapchat. This is whack. And now I'm stuck with that name, you know?
Yeah.
You'll see Nick Carthan pop up, but the name to find me as Nick _ Carthan.
All right.
That's it.
All right. As long as that works.
I'm stuck with it, man.
And the Twitter is?
The Twitter is Nick Carthan.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in there.
Thanks for having me, bro. Nick Squid, man. Fun.
Nick Squid. This is it. This is it right Squid, here, man. Guys. This is what we've been waiting for. Thank you guys for tuning in. We had fun. I had fun.
Nick
Carthan, follow him everywhere. This guy, I swear, is going to be the next big thing. You guys can find me all over the internet at the Nick Perdue. Until next time.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christian, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.